This is Jason Watson, creator of CodeReplacements.com, and you're listening to the Petapixel Photography Podcast with Sharky James. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 107. Are the sidelines a place for a parent with two kids strapped to them? In this episode, a mother in Texas puts her children in harm's way on the sidelines, but some think this is okay. Fujifilm apologizes for their success, and I've got a new camera in my hands. Getty wants a copyright suit tossed, and I was a guest on two big podcasts this week. All that and more in episode 107 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much for opening the show, Jason. I greatly appreciate it, brother. Necessity is the mother of invention, as they say, and photographer Jason O. Watson created something that solved a problem for many photographers, saving them valuable time. Just like Photo Mechanic was built for photojournalists, sports photographers, and others needing to get more done quickly, Jason's Code Replacements tool is a massive time saver. His automated roster generator is kept up to date with athletes' names, jersey numbers, positions, etc., and saves photographers from the tedious task of having to constantly be looking up that information and entering it. Now, while it's aimed at those that are shooting mostly college and pro sports, the Olympics, auto racing, etc., those that are shooting high school sports are able to easily generate their own rosters for each team, save those, and save a ton of time when it comes to finding particular athletes later. You know, if you're selling photos and such, you want to be able to get to a certain player and quick. If you'd like to check out this great tool, head on over to CodeReplacements.com. Now, if that doesn't interest you, but you'd like to see excellent sports photography, you'll want to check out Jason's site at JasonOWatson.com. There's a ton of great images over there, and it's definitely worth your time. Before we get into today's show, I wanted to apologize for putting this episode back a day. You know, after 22 years, unbelievably, of not seeing a doctor, I decided it was time to go. And that, along with my wife's appointments too, which all happened to coincide at the same time, that delayed things by a day, so I'm sorry about that. I'm fine, by the way, but, you know, for being nearly 46 years old and needing to lose a few pounds, my vitals and blood work came back not only as good, but excellent. That's pretty surprising. You know, I dodged a bullet. It could have gone completely the other direction. So I'd like to give a huge shout out and thank you to a fellow listener of yours named Joshua, who's a doctor, who encouraged me to go see one after 22 years of not doing that, and I'm happy I did. You know, so many of us, men especially, and that's most of you listening to the show, don't go see a doctor until something is wrong and it could be too late. You know, this is why we tend to not catch things before they're too late as men. And it's really important that if you haven't seen a doctor in a while, I urge you to give them a call, make an appointment, and make sure you stick around. Hey, if you want to enjoy your photography, you got to be healthy, right? So make that happen. I'm glad I did. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 107 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you all for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. And as always, we appreciate you hitting that subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode, as well as telling your friends on social media and elsewhere and helping to get the word out about this show. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. As someone who shot sports across the last three decades or so, going back to when I was in high school, on through my years as a photojournalist, and now, I can tell you firsthand that the sidelines of high school football games can be really, really dangerous. And small children, especially a baby, have no business there. None. And I'm not interested in hearing justifications for why it's okay, because it is just not. It is dangerous, and that is an actual fact. I mean, we can make a whole long list of places that you shouldn't be with your children taking photos, especially if they're strapped to you. Over the years, I've been hit by football players more times than I can count, and I can tell you that when a player or two clad in protective gear, and that includes their helmets, by the way, which are really, really hard, when they collide into a stationary object, also known as you and your camera, lenses, etc., you're going to get the short end of the stick every single darn time. I mean, why do you think the players are wearing helmets and pads? For their protection, right? You're not wearing any of that. You're completely unprotected. And let me tell you, that hurts not just your pride, but you're going to be feeling the effects of a 200 or so pound player, or maybe two of them, as they violently impact you and your gear for many, many days. So not only is it dangerous for you, but if you've got a baby strapped to the front of you and a toddler on your back, you're severely playing with the safety of your children. I'm sorry if that sounds harsh, but that's a reality. In fact, a direct hit from a player on an infant and you could easily snap its neck, or worse. It doesn't take much imagination to think about what's going to go wrong if a football player collides with a little baby. It's just not going to be a good scene. And why even chance it? Take up a collection and find a babysitter. I mean, as a parent, your first goal is to keep your kids safe, right? Shooting a football game is so unimportant compared to that. Maybe it's just me, but I don't think it's worth your child dying or getting seriously injured, you know, paralyzed or whatever. And I'd like to hear the arguments for how that could possibly be okay, because it really isn't. This debate started when a contributing photographer to the Dallas Morning News named John F. Rhodes noticed something unusual on the sidelines at a high school football game on Friday, September 9th, 2016. At that game, he noticed a mother with an 8-month-old girl strapped to the front of her in a baby carrier, with a 3-year-old boy strapped to her back, as she was holding a Canon DSLR with a 70-200 in her right hand and a baby bottle in the left. Now, some have seen this photo and they're like, wow, that's a super mom right there. She's taking care of her kids and shooting a game at the same time. And you know what? That kind of thinking really, really frustrates me. Knowing the dangerous nature of shooting a game from that close to the field, I look at that photo and I see a mother who's putting her kids in harm's way and risking their lives. Now, I'm sorry if that sounds harsh, but anyone who's been on the sidelines at a high school football game, whether you're shooting it or not, knows that when players are rapidly approaching, you have just seconds to get out of the way. And sometimes you just can't get out of their way and you get hit. They may look like they're going in one direction and then suddenly end up crashing into you violently because a player comes out of the blue and then knocks them off course and right into you. It's hard enough to get out of the way as it is, and that's just you and your gear. Now imagine the awkward weight of two children attached to you and your hands full. It's just not going to be possible. The mother, who's the wife of one of the coaches at that game she shot, has been nearly universally praised online since the photo was posted. And listen, I get it. You know, women see a mother multitasking the heck out of things in this photo and see it as being empowering. I totally understand that perspective. And they're entitled to that. But with respect, in this case, it's misinformed and it's wrong. This photo depicts an example of bad parenting. I mean, what else do you call not recognizing a danger to your children? And that's just my opinion, but this is based on many years of shooting on the sidelines of football games. And she should really know better. You know, she shot many other games and has shot practices, scrimmages, etc. And we know this from statements that she's made to the press. Remember, she's a coach's wife. You know, she's been around long enough to know that players are flying off the field to play, and anyone with even average intelligence would immediately identify the sidelines as being a risky place for your small children. In my opinion, those that are praising this mother, while they may be well-meaning, are just simply ignorant to how dangerous it is there in the field. Unless you've actually shot a football game or been on the sidelines, you just have no idea how fast things move and how dangerous it is. Ask any photographer or anyone who's been there on the sidelines and they'll tell you the same. You know, this is bad parenting. I'm sorry, but I'm just going to say it. This is bad parenting. And I don't believe for a second that she didn't know the risk that she was putting those kids in. Again, she's a coach's wife. And now she definitely knows because a lot of people have pointed it out to her. But unfortunately, many, many times more are praising her for doing this. And that is just blowing my mind. This game was played in Mesquite, Texas at Poteet High School. And you know what? The refs and the school had the responsibility to make sure she was not on the sidelines. They could have nicely told her and removed her from the sidelines, but they didn't. If she or her children were seriously injured or worse, tell me that her lawyer wouldn't go after Poteet High School for millions of dollars, claiming that it was their responsibility, not hers, to keep her from doing something incredibly foolish like that, right? Of course they would. Any lawyer worth their salt would go after the school district and the taxpayers would be paying for her foolishness. I remember 1 year back in Arizona when I was with the newspaper, there was a woman on the sidelines who was about 7 or 8 months pregnant. And if she would have taken a direct hit to the stomach, she would have miscarried. No doubt about it. And anyone who tells you that a pregnant woman can outrun a high school football player is just insane. Now, realizing the potential danger to her and her child, I said something. Not to her, but to a friend of mine who is the school's athletic director. I told him that she was at great risk there on the sidelines, so he walked over to her, told her what the deal was, and she thanked him because, you know, someone cared enough to make sure that she wasn't in danger. So that was the right thing to do. I encourage everyone to head on over to the show notes for episode 107 at petapixel.com/podcast and see the photo of this mother with her two children attached to her for yourself. Knowing what you know now from someone who shot more games than I can count, I think you're going to agree that this is not the picture of good parenting, figuratively and literally. What the 32-year-old mother told the Dallas Morning News is quite disturbing too. She says, quote, "I throw the kids on and away we go. I started taking pictures before I had kids, and I was on the sideline when I was pregnant. It didn't matter. I was on the sideline." End quote. Amazing. You know, I'm sorry, but this is not a super mom as people think. I know she's multitasking and she's trying to take care of her kids and also take photos, which she's not getting paid for, by the way. She's just shooting it because her husband is the coach and she wants to take pictures. So it's an unnecessary risk, remember. I mean, I'm not saying she should have her kids taken away from her or anything. That would be a little too extreme. But someone needs to talk some sense into her before her kids get harmed. I mean, imagine what happens later in this season if a player collides into that 8-month-old baby and she's paralyzed. So we'll see what she does. I'm not there. I don't know if she's still shooting games or not. Who knows? Also, shame on the school that her husband coaches for and any school that allows any parent of any sex to be on the sidelines with their children strapped to them because it is really, really dangerous. So shame on them. If I can't manage to get myself out of the way after all the years of experience that I have shooting games, what hope does a mom have with two kids attached to her, I ask you? I wrote an email to Lake Ridge High School principal Dr. Vonda Nunley there in Mansfield, Texas. That's the school that this mother's husband coaches for. And I let her know just how dangerous this is based on my experience. So who knows? If they continue to let her shoot, they're putting themselves at risk legally. That's on them. I would hope that they would look at the facts and realize that this is not a good thing. It just blows my mind that people are making this a women's rights issue because it is not. You don't have a right to put your children in harm's way. Just because you're a parent doesn't mean you can roll the dice with your children's lives like that. It is too dangerous. It's one thing to get into a car and get strapped in and you get in a car accident. You know, that's part of life. You're trying to get from point A to point B. What can you do? But being on the sidelines, unprotected, while everyone else has pads on and helmets and coming at you, not a good thing. You know, maybe someone there will hear this story or will have read about it in the paper and volunteer to babysit her kids. She can shoot the games and her kids will be safe. That's the most important thing here. Next. This next story comes at the perfect time because I'm ready to reveal the camera that I've been hinting at being on its way to me in recent episodes. That camera is the awesome Fujifilm X-T2. I've only had it for a few days now, and I can already tell you that it has indeed achieved awesome status. You know, over the years, I have used tons and tons of cameras from pretty much all the camera manufacturers, and I've pushed hundreds of thousands of frames through them. And I can tell you that my initial impressions of the X-T2 is that Fujifilm has a massive winner on its hands. Massive. They're going to sell a ton of these. I should say up front here that our friends at the awesome camera retailer DigiDirect down there in Australia FedExed me an X-T2 all the way from down under with a Fujinon 18-55mm f2.8 to f4 lens, and it is a great camera. So a huge, huge thanks to DigiDirect for that, and if you're down there in Australia, you know just how cool they are. I'm going to have a full review of the X-T2 down the road once I've had more time to bang on it and push more frames through it. But I've got to tell you, if you're into the tactile aspect of using cameras, the X-T2 is definitely designed for you. It picks up where the X-T1 left off by making usability refinements that are much, much appreciated. You know, Fujifilm is famous for listening to their customers, and they have heard them loud and clear. Things that were minor pain points earlier, gone. You know, this camera reminds me of film cameras that family members had when I was growing up. And I really appreciate that about it. But it's the technology under the hood that's really sweet. The EVF is very nice. The autofocus is so darn snappy, I tell you. It locks on. It is so much better than the one in the X-T1. And I've got to say that as nice as the RAW files are, the JPEGs that are straight out of the camera are gorgeous. You know, people told me they would be like that, and sure enough, they are. There's just something about the look of an image from a Fujifilm camera. They just have that so dialed in, it's unbelievable. The JPEGs are so good that I think for many, while you might shoot RAW plus JPEG, you're going to find yourself cropping your JPEGs and just calling it good. I mean, that's a huge time saver right there. They are that darn awesome. The X-T2 and the 18-55 go for $1,900 US, which is currently $2,539 down under since it was sent from Australia. And frankly, that's a pretty darn good value. You know, Fujifilm could charge more for this camera and get it. And they probably should. At roughly $1,600 for the X-T2, I think it's underpriced. But don't tell anybody that, especially Fujifilm. It's a really nice price right now. As I said months ago when the X-T2 was announced, the specs really appealed to me. As with my new Nikon D500, which I bought a few weeks ago now, mostly to shoot sports, the X-T2 looks to be able to handle its business. Now, I don't have the power booster grip that Fujifilm makes to go along with this camera. It allows you to shoot vertically a lot easier, and if you have larger hands like I do, that's definitely helpful as well. But it also allows you to be able to shoot longer because it lets you hold two additional batteries in the grip. And not only that, it takes the already awesome 8 frames per second of the X-T2 and gives you 11 frames per second. 3 frames per second doesn't sound significant, but if you shoot sports or anything moving quickly, you know that being able to throw 3 more frames downrange every second is helpful when you need it. And if your style is spray and pray, well, you know, learn to shoot because you'll save yourself a lot of time and not wear out your camera. You will love 11 frames per second. I'm taking this camera out to shoot football this Friday night and I can't wait because by all indications, it should be able to hold its own. Now keep in mind, I only have the 18-55mm lens at the moment, which is a 27-82.5mm lens in 35mm terms. So it's not at all the ideal sports lens. But when football players are closing in on you, you go to your around-the-neck camera with a lens that's wider. So that's what I'm going to be using it for. That and shooting stuff on the sidelines and in the crowd, etc. And I think for those uses, it's definitely up to the challenge. Now, if Fujifilm is listening, hopefully they can lend me a grip and a longer lens, and then I can try football, volleyball, etc. with it and let you guys know how it performs. This camera has sold so well that the company has issued a statement telling people they might have to wait a little bit longer to get their orders fulfilled. And I know that's frustrating, but you know what? It is definitely worth the wait, let me tell you. In the statement translated into English from the original on Fujifilm Japan's website and cleaned up to make sense by the Petapixel mothership, they say, quote, "Dear customers, thank you for your continued patronage of Fujifilm products. The mirrorless digital camera Fujifilm X-T2 has received more reservations than assumed, and production can no longer keep up with orders. For this reason, you may be asked to wait a while before we deliver the product you ordered. We apologize for the inconvenience to our customers. Actually, there is no excuse. As we continue to work to increase production, I would like to humbly thank you for your understanding." End quote. That's right, the good old humble brag, as the mothership called it. So, if you're thinking about getting one, get in line now. As I record this, Amazon indicates that they'll have more shipping in about a week. Now, if you're in Australia, of course, check with our friends over at DigiDirect. They've been incredibly awesome to this show, and I want you to support them if you can. Tell them that you heard me talking about the X-T2 on this show. I don't know if it'll get you anything. You never know, though. They might pop something extra in there. It's possible. It could happen. Tell them Sharky James sent you. You never know what might happen. How's that for mysterious, huh? You might get a lens cloth or something. I don't know. Might be kind of cool. I tell you, between that Nikon D500 and this Fujifilm X-T2, I feel like I've got all the bases covered now. You don't have to push many frames through the X-T2 to see that it's an incredibly, incredibly solid offering from Fujifilm. It's going to be a massive hit, like I said. People are going to love them. If you go online, you're not going to see many complaints at all because people are like, wow, this was definitely worth the wait. I've only had this camera for a few days now, but I've got some thoughts. You know I do, right? On how to make this camera even better. I think there's some usability things they could work on a little bit. This is definitely a huge step in the right direction, and it is such a minor thing. But I'll be talking about that in a future episode. there are definitely some awesome things that they could do to this camera. As I said earlier, I'm going to have a full review of the Fujifilm X-T2 down the road, but I got to tell you, I'm loving this camera so far. It just feels right. Just like the Nikon D500 on the DSLR side, on the mirrorless side, this camera just feels right to me. I'm not just talking about it in a tactile way because it's got it down for that. I mean, I see some things that can be improved, but they're such minor things. This camera is just insane. The focus is so snappy and the images that come out of it straight out of camera, the JPEGs are insane. They're just so nice. So stay tuned and I'm going to be telling you a lot more about this camera coming up. I really can't wait to get out and shoot more with this camera. It is really, really inspiring, I got to tell you. Next. Okay, I know a company has to do this, of course, especially given the stakes. Stakes. But it just sounds so ridiculous when you hear about it. And what I'm talking about is that $1 billion copyright claim against Getty Images brought by photographer Carol Highsmith. You may recall that Highsmith gifted 18,755 of her photographs to the Library of Congress, placing them in the public domain. Getty, of course, argues that since they were designated as such, they don't owe her a darn thing. Of this, the stock giant says, quote, "Public domain works are routinely commercialized. Publishers charge money for their copies of Dickens novels and Shakespeare plays, etc." End quote. So they're claiming that doing the same thing with her images is allowed as well. But she alleges that Getty violated a section of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, also known as the DMCA, which has to do with what's called copyright management tampering. That's when an entity removes or changes a copyright notice, quote, "with intent to induce, enable, facilitate, or conceal infringement," end quote. Now, as you might imagine, Getty says that they can't infringe on photos that are placed in the public domain, so this is a moot point. You know, if Getty loses, they have a lot to lose. With nearly 19,000 images allegedly being infringed, a large judgment has the potential to severely wound or destroy Getty Images. Thus, why they're vigorously trying to fight this and get this thing tossed. I don't think this is going to be settled anytime soon, unless Highsmith somehow accepts a settlement, but I have a feeling that this isn't about the money for her. That large dollar figure, I suspect, is meant to make a statement. If Highsmith wins and wins big, another company or individual would be incredibly foolish to do what she alleges. As I said when this story first came to light, I think that the profiting off of images of someone who's still alive, who put them out there to be freely used, a really nice, kind act, just rubs me the wrong way, and many of you as well. This isn't the works of someone who died, you know, a couple hundred or hundreds of years ago like Shakespeare and Dickens. A contemporary photographer tried to do some good, and then a company comes along and, in my opinion, basically said, "Thank you very much. Those will sell nicely." If you're an image creator, and we all are, that's gotta rub you the wrong way. It's just not in the spirit of what she meant those photos to be for. She didn't put them out there for someone else to go, "Thank you. We're gonna be selling them now." Not at all. Next. Before I forget, I'd like to let you know that I was a guest on two more podcasts this week. Now, first, on the Improved Photography Network show Tripod, host Nick Page and I talked about all the nonsense that photographers do that make the rest of us look bad and make our lives harder as photographers, and the things that we can do to change that. And I was honored once again to be on the world's most listened to, longest running podcast on everything that's iOS, iPhones, iPads, Apple Watches, etc. And that show is called Today in iOS. This time, host Rob Walch wanted me to give him my impressions of the camera tech that's in the newly announced iPhone 7 and 7 Plus. So if you'd like to check out either of those shows, definitely hit the show notes for episode 107 at petapixel.com/podcast, and I'll have the links for those. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 107 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show. Or if you don't feel comfortable leaving a voicemail, feel free to email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, and I hope you do, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook where I'm Lensshark. That's LENSSHARK. And as I record this on Thursday, September 15th, 2016, Canon has released its M5 mirrorless camera. I've got some initial impressions on that, but I'm going to hold that. I've talked about that a little bit over on social media, so if you follow me over there, you already know what I'm thinking. But I'm going to let things sink in for a couple more days, and I'm going to be talking about that on this Sunday's episode, episode 108. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 108. Well, it's F8 and 250th of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.
What the 32-year-old money?